You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. Why am I charged up? Because Bridget's back. That's right. Say hello, Bridge.
Hello.
And she's back just for an encore show. Unfortunately, I wish she was here every week.
Me too.
Because it makes it more fun. But in any case, we've also got a great, just a spectacular guest for you today, because it's about traumatic brain injury, but more importantly, what you can do to recover from traumatic brain injury. Sandeep Vaishnavi, The Traumatized Brain, A Family Guide to Understanding Mood, Memory, and Behavior After Brain Injury. It's from Johns Hopkins Press, so you know these guys are good. Dr., and I wish I could pronounce his name, Vaishnavi is director of the Neuropsychiatric Center at Carolina Partners and is associated with Duke University. His partner in crime, Dr. Rao, is also going to talk to us about traumatic brain injury and recovery from that. But we've also got a wonderful set of shows. He's going to be the guest at the bottom of the hour. Bridget's going to be here for as much of the 2 hours as I can persuade her. And we've got some wonderful new medical stories, if you will. One of my favorite that I'm going to talk about is who should be on your medical team. That is, what should your medical team, if you're well, consist of? What should your medical team, if you've got a disease or worried about an illness, consist of? We're also going to talk about some quick hitters, my favorite quick hitters. So I know that you've got the news of the week, Bridge.
I do.
Do you have a favorite story, or should I come back and call you in a few minutes after I do two of my favorites?
No, I can shout out my favorite. So what they did...
Okay, go ahead. What's your favorite story?
My favorite story, of course, pertains to people's consumption of vegetables. They looked at... The National Fruit and Vegetable Alliance looked at how Americans are doing in terms of their vegetable consumption, and they found that actually people are eating less vegetables than they have in previous years, despite some efforts to increase the marketing and vegetables offered at restaurants. So only 4% of adults are meeting their daily required consumption of vegetables. And what they found is that there is a serious lack of vegetables that are being consumed in the home, which I see every single day when I'm talking to people and they don't know what a lot of vegetables are. And then I'm pulling up what the vegetable looks like on
Google.
They
still think cheese is a vegetable?
They excluded fried potatoes from this study, but anything to do with potatoes is where people's minds go every time that you mention vegetables. And then when you ask them, are you eating fruits and vegetables, they typically say yes, and then they list a variety of different fruits. And then I always re-ask the question, well, okay, I said fruits and vegetables. So apparently a lot of people on a national level aren't getting the recommended vegetables that they need. And it's continuing to decline over the years. It's declined by 6% within the last 5 years.
Well, my favorite story is coffee drinkers live longer, and here's what happens to your body after an energy drink, and it is pretty good. So what is the story on coffee? So 5 cups or more per day decreases your risk of dying by about 15%, decreases your risk of disability by 15%. Half of it is from the caffeine, half of it is from the other stuff in the coffee. But, of course, if you're talking about black coffee, 5 cups a day, that means you're essentially about 2.5 years younger. That's right, 2.5 years better health, meaning less disability, and 2.5 years longer life. So you get both benefits from caffeine. So that's one of my favorite stories, and it's combined with another story of what happens after an energy drink. Basically nothing. If you have just one with guanine or caffeine in it, you get the benefit of the caffeine. It's only about half as good as if it was coffee, because it doesn't have the dark stuff with it. But in fact, you get a little blood pressure increase, a little heart rate increase, but nothing that lasts longer than an hour, as long as you only have one of these drinks every hour. That is, so the key is spacing out your drinks and making sure you're a fast metabolizer of caffeine. How do you know you're a fast metabolizer? You don't get a headache. You don't get abnormal heartbeats. You don't get anxiety or gastric upset with one cup of coffee or one energy drink over an hour. So that's how you know it. And so energy drinks may actually prolong life, or what we call make your real age younger. So that's one of the great, great positive stories. And we're going to talk about one of the negative stories, is my second favorite story. But Bridge, back to you. Do you have another favorite?
Why don't you go, and then I'll go.
Okay, my other favorite is on what we call social. This is a funny thing. It's called social jet lag causes obesity and the higher risk for heart disease and diabetes. What is social jet lag? It means you work at various shifts or don't get to sleep at a regular hour and have a different hour of sleep. And what that's been shown, we knew that if you don't get enough sleep, you in fact gain weight, because sleep, sex, thirst, and hunger are all in the same area of the brain. And if you don't get enough of one, you crave the others. So if you don't get enough sleep, you do crave food or thirst. And most people satisfy that not with more sex or more something else. They satisfy it with more food. And that causes you to gain weight, and that obesity, it makes it even worse. So that's one of the, if you will, negatives of that sleep time. Now, how much weight do you gain? Well, the increased incidence of diabetes was around 20% in shift workers. So we also have the characterization, but much better to do it in the way of looking at the shift work causes you to have a substantially increased risk over a 4-year period and a 10-year period. In the 10-year period, it's about a 20% increase in diabetes risk. Okay, Bridge, back to you.
Okay, so my other favorite story was about the lycopene, which is a phytochemical that you'll find in your tomatoes and watermelon, types of red, orange fruits and vegetables. They used that in rats. Researchers used it in rats, and they found that it actually helped to increase their bone density after 12 weeks compared to the controls that didn't get the lycopene. It also helped to decrease their body fat by 8.9% and 16.4% in the rats that have the two highest dosages of the.
Did you say rats?
Rats, yes.
R-A-T-S?
R-A-T-S, not humans. So it's
so this was a rat study, not a human study. We don't have the human data yet.
Right. So it's a fairly new concept, which is, in my opinion, really fascinating. When you look at the impact that it could potentially have on bone density. And it also helped to, the rats that were treated, it helped to improve their glutathione peroxidase, which is an enzyme that helps to protect individuals from oxidative stress. So before we know anything about the impact of humans, just continue eating your lycopene-rich fruits and vegetables, and maybe that will help increase your bone density, but it's not confirmed at this point.
We'll come right back, and I'm going to talk more about lycopene because it has a lot of benefit, maybe even ketchup and mustard. Ketchup and mustard on your regular veggie burger, if you will, should have two good things. So the turmeric decreases inflammation, and the lycopene may, in fact, buffer free radicals and do other things that are good for you that decrease vascular disease and maybe even increase bone density. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Are you truly fed up with that fat tummy? That growing muffin top which makes you feel bloated? sick and tired all the time? Then I have the answer for you. I am so ready to share my Flat Sexy Belly program so you can get rid of that swollen belly and at the same time feeling fabulous and energized the all-natural way. In my Flat Sexy Belly deep dive, you will heal your gut and at the same time lose weight, improve your energy, sharpen your mental focus, and even sleep deeper. Go to drsuzanne.com/FSB and enter promo code radio at the checkout for half off the program price. Again, that's drsuzanne.com/FSB and use the promo code radio. Get ready for the new you.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, great guest, Sandeep Vaishnavi, The Traumatized Brain, A Family Guide to Understanding Mood, Memory, and Behavior After Brain Injury. We'll talk to him about the brain injury, but we'll also talk to him about a lot of other things and how we can recover. Wonderful story in JAMA this week, Journal of the American Medical Association, online. They released it, how you can, in fact, improve your brain function, which is a great thing, obviously, if you can improve your brain function. But Dr. Vaishnavi is combined with Dr. Rao to produce this family guide to understanding mood, memory, and behavior. Obviously, a traumatic brain injury is a life-changing event. We're going to talk to him about why he and his partner decided to write this, and what they feel is the real way that we recover, and how you recover, and what you do, and even what you do to improve brain function, even if you haven't had a traumatic injury. One of the stories I wanted to discuss, and we're going to discuss in the next hour of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show today, it's obviously December 5th. This is, we've had Thanksgiving, you've gained weight. You may have worry about getting a disease, about heart disease or stroke or all those other things you get when you gain weight. Well, we're going to talk about how you can hopefully avoid those. But more importantly, we're going to talk to you about who should be on your regular team so that you stay healthy year-round, all the time. So that's what our subject is at the second hour of the show. If your radio station only carries the first show, well, after you finish listening to them, sometime you can tune in to RadioMD.com and get the podcast. They'll be posted by Tuesday at the latest. Usually they're posted by 7 p.m. tonight. And, of course, if you listen to us, you can go to RadioMD. We have two shows, 3 to 5 and, again, 5 to 7 p.m., so you can listen to this show. If you miss it or like it, or just have to run away to go some shopping or cooking or even eating leftovers. I hope you don't have Thanksgiving leftovers. That'd be 10 days of Thanksgiving leftovers. Hopefully you don't have those, unless you made it into soup and froze it. So that's one of the things. Bridget, do you ever make it into soup and freeze it?
Yeah, I have in the past.
And how did it taste?
I think it tastes really good.
So we'll come back and talk about that. Now, you had another favorite story.
Yeah, it ties in, actually.
Which is, what is the best drink to help ease nausea? Is that one of your favorite stories, or do you have another one?
That was the story. So looking at how liquids can help.
So I'm going to talk just a little bit about lycopene for a minute or two, and then we'll go to that story. Lycopene is the red stuff in tomatoes. It's also in watermelon and guava. And when people gave a lycopene extract or cooked tomatoes have much more lycopene released into your body than raw tomatoes, so you want it cooked. And what they seem to do is in three studies, we don't have a fourth, but in three studies, one on carotid arteries, one on heart, and one on peripheral arteries, they decrease that lycopene supplement, which is the same as in, if you will, two packs of salsa. I don't know how to describe it because it's got to be cooked salsa. But it's in, so this is, if you have tomato soup, you can get it this way, or diced tomatoes that are cooked, or some other way of getting cooked tomatoes.
Or marinara sauce.
Tomatoes, obviously. What?
Marinara sauce, too.
Marinara sauce, too, that's right. So if you have, it's an equivalent of 2 tablespoons of marinara sauce a day, that decreased your risk of heart disease, it decreased the size of plaque in carotid arteries and in peripheral vascular disease. We've never known why it does this. What Bridget said, that story in the rat artery showed, was that it increased glutathione. You have 3 antioxidants inside your cell, which is where you care about antioxidants, glutathione, SOD, and catalase. And foods that increase those, turmeric is one of those, and I guess lycopene is another now, that increases your antioxidants inside the cell, which means you stay more energetic because your mitochondria don't get as many injuries from processing big meals and food. So if you were planning on having a big meal on Thanksgiving and you did, you should have had some tomato sauce with it. You probably didn't, right? I don't know that we eat. Do you eat tomato sauce on Thanksgiving, Bridget?
No, I never have before. I can't see anything of what kind of dish it would be in.
But if you're going to have, so put some tomato sauce on. You know who would do this? Brian Wansick. Brian Wansick puts tomato sauce on everything. Brian is the wonderful scientific maven who runs the Cornell Brand Laboratories that does all those studies on whether you put vegetables high or low and how it affects kids choosing vegetables. Well, Brian is a tomato sauce addict. So Brian would put tomato sauce on turkey. But if you're going to have something for Christmas or for over the holidays or any time year round, but when you're going to overeat, make sure you get tomato sauce and turmeric or mustard. And you want the cheap mustard. The good mustard has mustard in it. The yellow stuff, that is the cheap, it's the only reason to stop at McDonald's in my point of view, is to get that cheap mustard, because that cheap mustard really has turmeric in it to give it that yellow color and the spiciness, and that actually is really good for you. Okay, so I've exhausted my tomatoes stories, Bridget.
I didn't know that about McDonald's mustard.
Well, go ahead. One pack has 17 milligrams of turmeric in it, which is just the amount you want in it every day. Go ahead. Talk to us about what's the best drink to decrease nausea.
Okay, so the best drink is probably what your go-to has been for your whole life. Anything that's carbonated. What the story that came out this week talks about is how the carbonation can help to reduce the total acidity in your stomach. And that may be associated with decreasing the nausea that you're experiencing. Maybe you're experiencing that from the holidays, holiday hangover. So you can go to any kind of fizzy beverage. The benefit of having any kind of cola will also be the addition of having the phosphoric acid, which is similar to the over-the-counter anti-nausea drug that they sell. So there's thought that, you know, having just a dark cola would help more than something like ginger ale. The benefit of something like ginger ale would be that there's kind of ginger. It's actually not ginger, so you wouldn't get the same benefit from ginger ale, but you would get it from drinking something like green or ginger tea, because ginger is also supposed to be really soothing for nausea. So the top best recommendations would be any kind of dark cola or ginger tea. Coconut water is also a good choice.
Wow, I'm really surprised that something with a cola, which is acidic, decreases the acidity of your stomach. So we'll have to explore that more when we get to read more about that story. And I'll talk about that December 12th. So next weekend, I'm going to talk about that when we do the live show next weekend. I will have read more about that by then. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We help you take charge of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end and live longer and healthier. Stay well on Radio MD.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Her Radio with Michelle King Robeson.
I'm going to be totally honest because that's all I know how to do and my life is an open book anyway. Give me a tip to develop a deeper connection with myself, right? That's what I'm struggling with.
The short answer is to do less in general and make it more meaningful.
And Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
My friend and colleague, Dr. Regina Benjamin, who's the 18th Surgeon General of the United States.
Thank you for having me and thank you both for what you do to get the health message and public health messages out there.
The naked truth about women.
Michelle, what comes to your mind?
Friendships.
Oh, okay.
Healthy women cultivating friendships. I mean,
we bond.
Right, exactly.
We bond like there's no tomorrow, and it's so healthy, and there's so much scientific research.
Listen live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
For more than 45 years, Barbara's has created delicious cereals and snacks made with simple, wholesome ingredients you and your family can trust. Barbara's breakfast and snack items are lower sugar, higher protein options, free of artificial ingredients and colors, with the majority of its product profile non-GMO Project Verified, committed to better health and better taste. Barbara's gives families real, wholesome food that's tasty, too. Check out all of the products at Barbara's.com.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets makes super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve and live longer and healthier. We have two wonderful guests now. Actually, one guest, but representing two institutions, because Dr. Vaishnava and Dr. Rao combined, and they are actually from two of the most prestigious, most wonderful medical institutions, Hopkins and Duke. And I won't say that Duke has a much better basketball team than Hopkins, but let me just put it this way. All five Hopkins players probably could not beat any two of the Duke players in basketball. Now, that's going so far, so that we'll probably get challenged on that sometime. But in any case, Dr. Vaishnavi and Dr. Rao have written a wonderful book, and it's wonderful because it really does explain things in a very simple, understandable way. It's called The Traumatized Brain, A Family Guide to Understanding Mood, Memory, and Behavior After Brain Injury. It's published by Johns Hopkins Press Health Books. Dr. Vaishnavi, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And the book you've written is called The Traumatized Brain. So first of all, we've all heard about trauma to brains, meaning injury to brains and causing concussion because of football. But there are other places where you get brain injury and get trauma to brain. So give us the range. Can you get it, for example, with a soccer ball? Can you get it with playing basketball?
Sure, yeah. Anything that impacts the brain, so it could be heading the ball in soccer, actually. That's one of the more common traumatic brain injury types, actually. So that can certainly happen. Playing lacrosse, it could be in any sport. Of course, football has gotten a lot of press recently, and deservedly so, regarding traumatic brain injury. But you can get a traumatic brain injury in all kinds of ways. And in fact, some of the more common ways are actually motor vehicle accidents and falls. So anything, any situation where you hit something or something hits you and the brain is impacted and you're dazed or confused even momentarily, that's a traumatic brain injury.
Now, you said it was a silent epidemic. What do you mean by silent epidemic?
Well, it's silent in the sense that if someone has injured their leg and they can't move their leg, or if they're in a wheelchair, it's obvious that person has had an injury. However, with traumatic brain injury, a lot of the times the more long-standing symptoms that occur, such as mood changes and behavioral changes, memory problems, attention problems, all of those things are not evident to someone who's just looking at that person. So it's a huge epidemic in the sense that there are literally millions of people every year who get a traumatic brain injury, anywhere from 1.5 to 2 million people a year who get a traumatic brain injury, and there are millions of people who are impacted by it, even family members and others impacted by it. But the issue is that a lot of the times the long-standing problems that we see with traumatic brain injury as doctors, as clinicians, it's not so obvious, though. For the patient, it's not so obvious for family members. And that's why it's a silent epidemic. And that's one of the reasons for writing this book, is to have people understand that after a traumatic brain injury, you can have these mood, memory, and behavioral problems that really need to be addressed.
Now, we tweeted about this, you coming on the show in advance, and one of the people responded and said, I'd like to ask the authors, what's the difference between traumatic brain injury and concussion? Does every concussion lead to traumatic brain injury, or does every traumatic brain injury lead to concussion, or what's their relationship? So that's from Mary in New York City.
Right. That's a very good question. So a mild traumatic brain injury is a concussion. That's the easiest way to think about it. So you can divide traumatic brain injury into mild, moderate, and severe. And a mild traumatic brain injury is a concussion. So, in fact, 75% approximately of all traumatic brain injuries are in that mild category. In other words, 75% of traumatic brain injuries are concussions. So that's what we hear a lot about concussions, especially in the context of sports, as we just referred to earlier, with soccer, lacrosse, football, basketball even. All of those sports where if you hit your head, you can be dazed and confused, at least momentarily. And by definition, to meet the diagnosis of a mild traumatic brain injury, you have to have loss of consciousness of less than 30 minutes. It could be zero. It could be no loss of consciousness, but just being dazed and confused momentarily. The other way to look at it is people can also have what's called post-traumatic amnesia, which is how long does it take after the injury that person is able to form new memories? In other words, learn new things. And less than 1 hour is considered a mild traumatic brain injury or a concussion. So concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury.
Now, Muriel asked, what have we learned about traumatic brain injury that helps us both recover from it and learn about other brain diseases such as the cognitive dysfunction as we get older? Is cognitive dysfunction as we get older just the consequence of these traumatic brain injuries when we were young and didn't realize it?
Well, you certainly, I think one can make the argument that cognitive dysfunction can occur later in life with multiple traumatic brain injuries. Now, this is a bit controversial because we really don't know for sure, but there is this idea that you can accumulate the effects of concussions or mild traumatic brain injuries. So over a lifetime, it may be that these injuries accumulate and cause cognitive problems, meaning memory problems and attention problems. In fact, there is this idea of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. That's a pathology diagnosis, actually. And that's kind of been in vogue recently in terms of the lay press. There's a movie coming out with Will Smith next month called Concussion, which actually talks about exactly this idea that there in some people, especially in, say, professional football players, which is where we have most of our data right now, there can actually be changes in the brain after multiple concussions that have accumulated over time. And then the changes in the brain actually lead to cognitive problems. They can lead to a neurodegenerative type of a process, a dementia. It can also lead to behavioral changes, perhaps depression, perhaps suicidality. In fact, just today, there was a word that Frank Grifford, the NFL football player and announcer, his family has announced that he, too, it turns out, suffered from this illness, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE.
What have we learned about the healing of this? That is, we know that rest seems to help in some people. At least we don't allow football players back in until they've recovered function. So one assumes that it's rest that is doing that. But are there any drugs, any medicines, any exercises? What can we do to help with this?
Right. Well, you're right. Rest is actually a very key part of this, and the American Academy of Neurology recommends that after a concussion, the player should not go back into that game at all, should be taken out of the game, as you mentioned, and in fact not be cleared to play until they've seen a specialist in this. So yes, that's really important. Rest is important. But the other thing that's also important is to allow the brain to use its resilience. So again, it depends on the severity of the illness that we're talking with the severity of the illness that we're talking about. So if we're talking about more moderate to severe brain injury, there's a longer rehabilitation process that's involved, and that can involve cognitive rehabilitation. So practicing skills, cognitive skills, with occupational therapy and physical therapy and speech therapy. Medication-wise, we do treat traumatic brain injury based on the symptoms. So if there are problems with behavior, such as controlling impulses and being disinhibited, there are medications for that. There are antidepressants we use. We use mood stabilizers. We use antipsychotics. We use all of these medications.
What about any, when we come back, we're going to talk about foods and exercises that we can regularly do, as well as more of your questions that you've sent us in advance about TBI or traumatic brain injury. We'll be right back on Radio MD with
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Being your best means nothing slows you down, whether it's a hard day of chores around the house, that weekend marathon, or smashing through a workout. One thing remains the same. Recovery must occur before you can be your best. Michael's Recovery Zyme supports the body's natural inflammatory response, resulting in greater muscle recovery. Recovery Zymes is the missing link you need to be your best. Recovery Zymes' formulation of systemic enzymes and herbs, coupled with an advanced enteric coating, allows Recovery Zymes times to work where needed, the muscles and tissues. Our team at Michaels also uses these formulations, so we price our products to be cost-effective because we believe that excellent health should be affordable. Recovery Zymes is the highest potency and most affordable muscle recovery formulation in the market. Elite athletes and weekend warriors all agree. Systemic enzymes are the missing link. Michaels Recovery Zymes provides them so you can move forward and achieve your goals. You provide the passion, we'll provide the support.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents.
You should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends.
You have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And we're fascinated and lucky to have Dr. Vishnavi with us, who's the author of The Traumatized Brain. And it's all about exactly what we at You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, want to do all the time, help you live at the top of your curve. And that's what Dr. Vishnavi does. The Traumatized Brain, you can get it on Amazon. Look at it at Amazon. It is about how to recover after the injury. And so this is a book. Dr. Vishnavi is at Duke. Dr. Rao, his partner in writing this, is at Hopkins, so you've got a lot of great medical knowledge into this, piled into this book. One of the things we've been asked about is, are there any foods, drugs, what can you do to recover from this or to make your neurons, are there anything to make your neurons grow back better?
Right. So omega-3 fatty acids are actually really helpful potentially in terms of your brain's resilience. So omega-3 fatty acids are found in fish oil and other foods. That's actually really important in terms of your neurons, in terms of the membranes of your neurons, keeping them fluid and keeping them acting properly. So after a traumatic brain injury, you don't just have the impact of the injury directly, whatever part of the brain that was hit, but you also have what are called downstream effects. In other words, there are other things that kind of occur in a cascade-like manner, metabolic changes, chemical changes, inflammation changes that can occur. And so omega-3 fatty acids may be actually quite helpful in dealing with some of these downstream consequences. So that's one of the things that we recommend. Vitamin D may also be relevant. So there's some data to suggest that vitamin D may also help with this kind of downstream effects of traumatic brain injury, inflammation especially. And zinc as well may be helpful. So there are some things that nutritionally that can be done. That's one category. And the other category, of course, is to do the best you can for your health overall, because what's good for your body overall is good for your brain. And so as time goes on, as you're recovering from traumatic brain injury, getting adequate exercise is really important. That, too, has anti-inflammatory effects.
Now, in addition to the exercise and the, if you will, the omega-3, and by the way, I should say I'm asking questions that are out of this book, because this is a wonderful book, The Traumatized Brain, A Family Guide to Understanding Mood, Memory, and Behavior After Brain Injury by Rao, R-A-O, and Vaishnavi, V-A-I-S-H-N-A-V-I. But if you go Traumatized Brain on Amazon, you get right to it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. The other question is, what should, if and this is asked by about four different people. We tweeted this book was coming on, and about four people said to me, or asked me through email, and you can always email us at udocs@gmail.com. Put just question for Dr. Roizen or question for the radio show. If you put that in, what, like other people, one of the things that happened is they asked us, would you allow your son or daughter to play, one question was football, another question was hockey, and the third one was soccer. And the fourth one, which I always, because we mentioned this on the show in, a couple weeks ago in talking that you were coming on, was that I had heard that synchronized swimming was also a sport that's very high in brain injury. So let me go and ask you, is that true? And what do we do about it?
Right. Well, it is important to avoid traumatic brain injury, obviously. I mean, your brain is really, I would argue, it's the most precious part of your body. I mean, it's really who, it's what makes you who you are. So we have to protect our brain as much as possible. Having said that, we can't go around life with a helmet on all the time, necessarily. We have to participate in our lives. But we do want to minimize risks. So football, for example, you mentioned. I would be wary, frankly, about football, unless it is touch football. And that's becoming actually more popular around the country, partly because of this reason. But tackle football, you know, one has to be very careful, unless things change over time as people get more and more awareness about brain injury, and there are less head-to-head tackles. But clearly, if you are running very quickly at a person, you're tackling that person, you're hitting their head, well, that is going to have some impact. I mean, it's not something that's benign, especially if you do it over and over again, and that includes practice as well as game time. So I would be hesitant about that. I do have a young son, actually, and I don't recommend that he actually play football. As far as some of these other sports, I think hockey, there's also a high risk, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend putting kids into that as long as there are these risks. I'm not saying that one shouldn't play these sports. It's just that you have to try to manage the risks as best you can. Soccer is perhaps does have a lot of injuries just because of its popularity, especially with heading that can cause brain injuries over time. So those kinds of things I would avoid, but obviously we need exercise. It's good for our kids, so I don't want to be too adamant about it. But I would say try to minimize head injuries as much as possible at any cost, so to speak. And when you do have a head injury, when you do have a brain injury, take that very seriously. I mean, in the past, people would say, oh, I just got my bell rung. You know, it was no big deal. I just saw stars. Well, it turns out it is a big deal. I mean, these are things that you have to take seriously. They can really cause consequences down the road, especially if you have a lot of them. So I think that's the main message here is we got to take this seriously. We want to play sports, but we want to minimize our risk as much as possible.
And so the other one was synchronized swimming.
Right. Well, I don't know if synchronized swimming per se, if you're just swimming, I don't think that there's an inherent risk in that. But, I mean, if there is any chance of impact, so it could be with cheerleading, for example, or some dance routine where there is a risk of falling down or hitting your head in some way, really that's the bottom line. It's not synchronized swimming per se or any sport per se. It's really any kind of an activity where there is a likelihood of hitting your head by accident or on purpose. And with football, of course, that's on purpose. With heading the ball in soccer, that's on purpose. So that's why I focus on those sports particularly, because that's something that you may be able to avoid. Just don't do those things on purpose. But accidents can happen anywhere, and it can happen in synchronized swimming. It can happen as a cheerleader. It can happen in drill team. I mean, that can happen anywhere.
Okay, quickly, if someone gets a brain injury, what's the first thing they should do other than get the book, The Traumatized Brain?
Yes. Well, it depends on the severity. So if we're talking about a mild traumatic brain injury or a concussion, it's important to rest. That is the main thing to do. The first thing, though, actually, would be it's good to get evaluated. You want to go to your doctor. You want to get that assessed. There are many.
And we're going to have to break it there because we're out of time. Get the book, The Traumatized Brain. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show after these important.